Welcome to the ETS podcast, where we are facing the challenge and shaping the future.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this special episode on the ETS podcast. I'm Joel Barron.
Hey, and I'm Melanie Endicott.
And we're excited just to come to you to have a conversation about worship. We're going to be specifically looking at the topic of the power of praise. What does that look like? What is the power of praise? Melanie, what do you think is the power of praise?
Well, there's so many different reasons why praise is powerful, but first of all, we're supposed to praise the Lord. The word said, if even the rocks will cry out. if we don't praise the Lord, even the rocks will cry out at His goodness. And so, praise is powerful. It changes us. It changes the atmosphere. It changes our mental state. I just know sometimes when I just feel blah, and I get to church, or I am singing in worship, or I'm listening to worship in my car or in my home, whenever the Spirit of God shows up and my heart is worshiping, it's like it just changes the atmosphere. It sets everything right. It changes my focus. It changes my attitude to joy. And it's just powerful to be able to just worship the Lord and to just feel His presence wherever I go, you know, whether I'm at home or in my car or at church or leading or not leading. I just love to just be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because it really changes me and it just makes me feel complete, and it helps set my focus on who I am and the Lord's plan for my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talking about the rock crying out reminds me of when I was a kid, our church choir had this song. And it specifically said, if you don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. And then they go, I don't want no rocks crying out for me.
Ain't gonna let no rock out praise me. Did you ever do that one?
I don't think we did.
Ain't gonna let it sing my place. Yeah, we did that one at church when I was younger.
But
ain't gonna let no rock out praise me.
come on. But it's so much truth to that about the importance of this gift we've been given. That is not just a gift, but is also a tool for setting the atmosphere. It's also a weapon we've been given, a powerful, powerful weapon that we don't utilize enough. I think worship has become, and simply the term praise and worship has been coined together in the church, and people come together and just simply sing their series of song, and that's all it is. But there's so much more. You just described most of it. But I'm reminded of the passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with King Jehoshaphat. And this is just one of many examples we see of the power of praise, especially it being used as a weapon. And when we look through this passage, we see that he goes to war and he puts the choir in front. And it's incredible because they don't fight. They don't do nothing. They just sing.
Yeah. And can you imagine the faith that they must have had in the Lord to be able to just be out there in front? I mean, just the singers, you know, they were just bringing up worship to the Lord and trusting in the Lord, but just that faith that they'd have to have, knowing that that battle was coming, that army was coming to destroy them. And they're the singers and worshipers that are out in the forefront. And that's amazing to me to be able to think about. I mean, you trust, we love to say we trust in the Lord and, you know, but if it came down to you standing in front of an army coming to kill you and you had no weapon except for your singing, I mean, how faithful would you feel? how faithful would you feel? I mean, let's get real here. But I love that story because it was the praisers that went out first, and and the Lord saw their obedience and their trust in Him, and He saved them. And I just love the idea of the worshipers and the singers. They were out front. They were leading the way. They were charging the way only with their trust in the Lord and their worship on their lips. And the Lord came and did it. And he conquered everything, you know, for them. And that's so powerful if you think about just worshipers singing, and they just went out there and thought, okay, Lord, You're going to save us. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in that story, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit spoke to somebody and said that God said that He'll deliver us. And so they just went out there in faith.
Yes. Well, what's important is that he didn't just speak it, but they actually took time to seek and to hear his voice. And I think that's key for us. And that's something we don't do so often as well, is that we need to stop and we need to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
And he is telling us, hey, I've given you this weapon. Just lift your voice and begin to praise.
Yeah.
And when we do that, I think we sometimes apply like, oh, I'm not in a battle. I ain't got an actual war going on. But so many things are happening where we are really going through battles. I don't see the armies today using this strategy there. Like you said, and if they called me and said, hey, can you come with your worship team and stand in front? Hey, Melanie, Joel, come get in front. We're just going to give you a mic and we want you just to sing down the opposite army. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know that I'm going to be signing up. Like you said, do we have the faith? So to have that kind of faith and to hear from God and to just trust him when he says to do that, that's powerful. I'm reminded of a student that was going through a situation, and I was sharing a little similar story with this. And we stopped our class and we just began to praise on behalf of the situation that this student was going through. And what was amazing is one week later, the whole thing was resolved and taken care of. And I have to wonder, was it because we took time to stop and to praise and we went to battle through this weapon that he's given us?
Yeah.
What if we did that in the church? What would that look like?
Yes. I think that I've been in the church for so long. I mean, I've grown up in the church, grown up always being a part of worship, whether I was in a kids choir or, singing on my dad's worship team or in the choir I've always been singing in church and worshiping the Lord. But I feel like recently in my life, I feel like the Lord has taken my understanding of worship so far deeper than I ever could have imagined. I feel like I, within the last 5 years, have really, really matured in understanding the power of worship in my life. And it used to be, as a young person, you learn how to sing the harmony parts, you learn how to worship, you learn how to, you're praising God, but it didn't feel so intimate to me when I was younger. It didn't feel so intimate. And now I feel like I have, I've really just mentally just found this maturity with my worship and with my relationship with God, this intimacy with him, to where I can be on stage and I can worship the Lord and I can almost feel like I'm completely alone. And that's strange, I know, because normally if you're up there and you're leading worship, we can do the show, we know how to say it, we know how to get people involved, we know all the tricks and of the tricks of the trade. But I found myself recently I've been so in this just hungry place of this intimacy with the Lord and my own worship that I kind of just get lost in his presence and I get lost in, I can just feel the Holy Spirit in the room and the presence of God in the room. And I just love those moments of time where you just get completely lost in the presence of God. It really changes me. And I forgot the question. What was the question? I was going to say, I feel like worship has changed. People are worshiping the Lord more fiercely than they ever have before. I remember growing up and always seeing, people raise their hands, they sing the harmony parts, they really worship the Lord. But now it's like you see this almost like this aggressive, this fighting to be in the presence of God, and this excitement and energy that was not there for me. I remember how it was, and I never felt that energy the way I feel it now, the way people are just so ready to just really just run into the presence of God and really have such an energy and a focus about it. And I love that. And it just makes being in worship Sunday morning, that is my favorite time where I can just close my eyes and just focus on the Lord, and all distractions fall away, and everything that doesn't matter falls away. And that's just my absolute favorite thing. It's just like, I was just telling, on Sunday, I was leading worship. My pastor came up, somebody was making a testimony, and he just looked at me. He's like, Mel, if you want to sing another song, you just go for it. You know, we're just following the Spirit of the Lord today. And I said, I'm ready. And I was just like, and I told him, I was like, can we stay all day? I was like, I don't want to go home. It's too good. Because when the Spirit of God falls, there is just nothing better than that. There is nothing better than being in a room with your church family, with friends and family and people you can trust. And the worship is just a beautiful time of connection and unity. And when the Holy Spirit is there and it changes the atmosphere, there's just nothing better than that. And I always, that's just my absolute favorite. I just feel like, I don't want to leave. I want to stay right here. I could be right here in this place all day. And the power of praise, it really just changes your heart and your mentality. And it strengthens you. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just such a beautiful thing, even just the way that the Lord even formed our bodies to be able to sing in worship. And, it says so many times in the Bible, sing unto the Lord, sing a new song, sing. And I just recently kind of realized why the Lord wants us to sing. It's because He wants our complete focus of our heart, our soul, our body, our spirit, all of it, even our very breath, to bow down and worship Him. Mm-hmm. And our very breath is speaking of God's goodness. And if you even look at the way we sing, we take a deep breath in, our lungs fill up, and then when we sing, the lungs push up through the vocal cords, breath, yeah. And we sing out, and those vocal cords vibrate together. So it's so physical, like singing is physical, and it's something we all can do. But I just recently learned about this nerve. I don't want to get too scientific because, I've not studied logopedia, I've not studied voice therapy, but my voice therapist was telling me that there's this nerve called the vagus nerve, and it runs through your body, and it's the nerve that you sing. It's connected through your thoughts and your emotions. So your cerebellum, and then it runs down. It goes through your heart. It wraps up through your lungs. It even goes through your vocal cords. And this nerve, it matters. It matters when you sing. You can feel all things are kind of together, emotional. Like if you sing and if you're singing a whole lot and you're under a lot of mental stress, you could actually get a nodule on your vocal cord because of the mental stress that you have, and that nerve goes through your voice. You can actually cause yourself to have a vocal injury just because you're stressed and pushing yourself to sing. So all of this stuff is interconnected, and God made it that it's interconnected. Mm. And I just think it's just so powerful that when I learned about that, when I was, in my logopedia voice therapy stuff, I learned about this and I was like, okay, Lord, this is why you want us to sing. Because you want everything to be focused on you, our thoughts, our breath. And when we sing out, we are synthesizing our physical beings to be in connection with your Holy Spirit. And I just love that that thought of it. It's all interconnected, and that's why the Lord wants us to sing to Him. He wants us to worship Him, but He also wants a physical reaction. He wants a physical reaction that is us, that is us and our voice giving praise to the Lord, even if, I love to tell, if I have a voice student and they're like, oh, I really don't feel that I sound good. And, I don't know. Or if I teach a choir workshop, and there's people in there that aren't real, singers, I always love to, give the story of, you know, in 1 Samuel 16, you know, Samuel, he was supposed to go to the house of Jesse because he was going to, you know, God asked Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel. And so Samuel, you know, he goes into the house of Jesse and he sees this, I guess, this guy named Eliab. He's really, I don't know, it struck him. I don't know if he was tall or handsome or whatever it was, but Samuel looked at Eliab and said, "Oh Lord, that must be who you wanted me to anoint." And I love this verse in verse 7. God says to Samuel, "You might think Eliab is the one that I want you to anoint, but do not consider his appearance, because I don't look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart."
That's right.
And I love to use that verse to tell people, you know what? You might not be the best singer, but that doesn't matter. The Lord is looking at your heart. He doesn't, just like he doesn't look at outward appearances, mm-hmm. he doesn't care about those things that we as people care about. We as people, we want everybody to sound good and it'd be great. We want the best singers, you know. But you know what? We do that because we want it to sound good for us, because we're people, we're human, you know. We don't think like God. So yes, we want it to sound nice so that there's not a distraction in the room. You know how it is if somebody gets up on stage and they don't sound the best. Right. It's a distraction and people might, you know, make faces or, you know, not be kind about it. So yes, we want people to sing and we want it to sound good for us to not have a distraction so that we can sing and worship and, you know, worship in freedom and not be thinking about that. But I think that God does not care about the sound of our voices. I don't think God cares if you sing great or you don't sing great. And I think that he looks at your heart and he looks at our heart. He looks at our attitudes about it. Mm-hmm. And yes, we as people, obviously we want to have good singers. I mean, that's our job is to train up others to sing well. Yeah. But I don't think that matters to the Lord. I think the Lord looks at the heart during worship. How much are you giving? Are you really focused in on him? Or are you focused in the joy and kind of the selfishness of how we, you know, enjoy being in the presence of God? Sometimes we can enjoy, you know, the act of worship more than we enjoy really connecting with the Lord. And we got to be careful, you know, we got to be careful of that. But I always like to encourage people, you know, even if you're not the best singer, Lord doesn't care about that. You should still sing with your whole heart, worship with your whole heart. Give 100% to the Lord and focus on his presence and not just about how amazing do I sound? Can I do all the ad libs? Can I do all the stuff? Yeah. I think that the Lord doesn't care about that.
Well, he says, make a joyful noise. He didn't say it had to be in tune, right? And I love Tasha Cobb. She gets up there and she goes, come on, praise him in your key.
Yeah,
praise him in your key. Pick a key, praise him. And I'm very aware of that. I love my wife, but she'll sing sometimes and she'll change keys 5 times in the same chorus and say, why aren't you singing with me? And I grew up learning how to teach in choir, and you always have to look for the wrong things because of competitions. But then you come to the church side, it's like you said, it does become a distraction for us. And so we have this concept of, oh, you have to do everything in the spirit of excellence. And that means no wrong notes, no nothing. But is that only on the stage? Is it applied to everybody?
Yeah.
How does that come back into what praise really is?
Honestly, we only have a few more minutes, right? I'm just jibber-jabbering on. I was just going to say, like, the team that I'm a part of in Longen, we've gotten to a place where we don't care about all the transitions being perfect and whatever. We'll talk about it during sound check. We go through it, but we don't care. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well,
it just matters that we're worshiping the Lord with everything we are. And you know what? Every time, it always works out.
And see, there's
because the Holy Spirit just leads and that doesn't matter. It's just not it needs to not be about performance. It needs to be about full, complete focus on the Spirit of the Lord that's in the room. And
And so many have made it to the point where it's got to be exactly like Bethel did it on the album, or how Hillsong did. And then they got the instrumentals perfect, but there's nothing happening. Yeah. I feel like the instrumentals were designed to have intimate worship moments with God. Mm-hmm. And we're missing the point. Like, oh, but I sounded good. But what are we doing with this gift he's given us, with this weapon? And how can we utilize that in our lives?
So that's good.
So, well, this has been a great conversation. It's been fun.
Sorry, I rattled on the whole time. You didn't
It was good stuff. So, and we hope to be able to do more of these. But we just wanted to have a conversation about what praise is, because it's so often just something that's done because it's thought that it has to be done. But we don't really put much thought into what really is happening when we are praising God, the power that's within our praise, the doors that are opening. And one quick reference too, I think of is Acts 16, when Paul and Silas begin to praise, and how the very foundations of the jail cell begin to shake, the doors fell, the shackles fell. So not only are we like fighting our battles, but we see that freedom can happen in the midst of our worship. And I think that's key. I think that's what we're searching for when we take our church into worship, is we want to help them to discover that same freedom in the midst of their battles, in the midst of their things that they're facing.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. So, well, let us pray over you, and that'll end this episode. God, I just thank you for this time that we've been able to have together, God, just to share our hearts, God, to have this conversation, God, about what worship really is, God, and specifically, God, this power of praise, God. And we thank you for the stories like the story of Jehoshaphat, the story of Paul and Silas, that we can take and we can apply into everyday life, God. And I pray that as individuals are listening to this podcast, that God, that you would just bring a new awareness to them of what worship is within their lives. God, help them, Father, Lord, just to grab hold of this gift, this weapon that you have given us, so that we can apply it in our everyday life, God. And we're just so excited, God, for what you have in store, God, what you are doing, God, for the awakening, God, that has taken place, Father, Lord, not only in our homes, but God, around the world. And we just thank you, God, and we can't wait to see what you are going to do, God. Thank you, Father, Lord, for your goodness, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the ETS podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.ets-canibus.de.